Now, coffee is one of the world's leading love affairs. In the UK, we neck down 95 million cups of the stuff every day. The Naked Scientist Office presumably responsible for about half of that. But new research suggests that up to 65% of the strains of wild coffee are at risk of extinction.
Hannah Leverinch-Schlegelhofer put the kettle on and she sat down for a chat with Alex Summers, who's the glasshouse supervisor at the Cambridge Botanic Gardens, to find out a bit more about the world's favourite beverage.
Okay, just a standard instant coffee.
Something for the afternoon pick-me-up?
Exactly, just to keep the caffeine in the system.
With a steaming cup of coffee in hand, we headed to the tropics.
Okay.
Well, the tropical rainforest in the glasshouse, to see where our caffeine fix comes from.
The plant from which coffee comes from is a shrub. It's a shrub that can come from the understory of the forest or forest edge, and it reaches a reasonable size. We're talking somewhere in the realms of 6-8 foot. The leaves are oval, relatively large, and they're opposite. And the actual coffee that we drink comes from the fruit. So the coffee fruit is a red berry. Imagine something about 2 or 3 times larger than the berry you would find on holly. And that's what a coffee fruit looks like. The actual coffee bean is the seed inside that fruit.
So when you drink coffee, you're actually drinking the ground up seed of a coffee plant?
Absolutely. So pre the grinding stage, those beans will be cured and dried. And then they will be roasted and ground, and then you'll get the familiar powder that you will be used to for making coffee.
When you see like menus at an artisan coffee shop, you see lots of different types of coffee. Where do these different types come from?
Types with coffee, I guess, in a lot of cases, are very much like types with wines. So the environment has a huge part to play in the flavour of the coffee beans that you take from the plant, but also the variety of coffee as well. So there are two main species that are used in the production of coffee. There's Coffea arabica and Coffea canephora, which is the robusta coffees. So the top end of coffees are that tend to be the arabica coffees, and the real workhorse of the coffee, so your instant coffee, comes from the robusta coffees.
A study published in Science Advances reports the results of a global risk assessment for coffee, and the results seem quite concerning.
So the key finding of the paper was that 60% of coffee species are at threat of extinction. So what we're talking about is the fact that those two species we were talking about are two species within about 124 species of coffee, and within those, 60% of them are threatened with the fact that they may no longer exist within decades to come. And that's major. What we're actually looking at here is a huge resource. If we want greater drought resistance or disease resistance within our coffee crops, then there is potential within the wild relatives of the two coffee species we've just spoken about to actually breed that in to those for future generations and for future production of new varieties and crops.
From increasing numbers of droughts to faster spreading of disease, coffee species are facing a wide range of threats.
I think the core risks for the threat to coffee species across their range is habitat degradation and agriculture. And as we see forests cut down for many reasons, we see the loss of habitat for coffee, but also coffee species tend to be range restricted. This means that in many cases they've evolved to quite tight specific climatic conditions, and therefore they're not very flexible in moving when into new habitats or new ranges when their current habitat is degraded. Disease, particularly in areas of domesticated crops where we tend to grow one or only very few varieties, become a real problem.
With these species at risk, what can we do about it?
There's two areas that are highlighted here, which is improved conservation in situ, so improved protection for areas or regions which have coffee wild relative species, but also from growing them outside of their normal range perspective. So things like we are here at the Botanic Garden doing that is really important as well, particularly because coffee have recalcitrant seeds. You can't store the seeds in dry cold storage. And in this case, to build a collection of coffee outside of its normal range, you have to grow it as a plant. And one thing that we have to recognise is the importance of botanic gardens to contribute to that. And also from a botanic gardens perspective, we all have to talk to each other more and make sure that we are not all just conserving a small portion of that diversity of both Robusta and Arabica, but also of the other species.
I absolutely love coffee. And talking to Hannah was Alex Summers there. The research she was commenting on has just been published in the journal Science Advances.